Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, the word of God says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Let's try it together. Ready? "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." Great verse, and let's pray. Lord, this verse is just tucked away in this often neglected book, but what a powerful verse. This morning, as we talk about the joy of salvation, we're going to be talking about the joy we have in salvation. Let us not forget the joy you take in our salvation, the pleasure you receive in saving us, the delight that you have in your children. And Lord, salvation is the best thing that ever happened to us. And it's the beginning of everything good that's ever going to happen to us in the future. And I pray today that you'd remind us of the great gift of God through salvation, and that you'd help it to be a never-ending well of joy in our lives until we get to see you. And then, of course, we'll live in joy with you forever in heaven. So, Lord, I pray that you'd do your work in us today. Holy Ghost of God, speak to each and every heart. Help me to say only the things that would honor and please you. And may Christ be lifted up this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're in the midst of our series on joy, how to have joy. I say we're in the midst of it. We're coming down to the end of it. We probably have one or two Sundays left, depending on how the Lord leads. But this idea of joy, how to have joy, I think joy is an underrated benefit of salvation. The world around us spends so much time, energy, and money trying to be happy when God's people have the ability to have joy. And what is joy? Joy is gladness from God. It's gladness that is not dependent upon your circumstances. You can be having a bad day and yet still have joy. You can be sick and have joy. You can be poor and have joy. Because joy is gladness from God. As we've talked about, joy is better than happiness. Joy is better than pleasure. It's better than possessions or position. Joy. Joy sustains. It strengthens. It gives life. It gives meaning. We've talked about 8 different lessons now on this idea of joy. We talked about the sovereign of joy, the sources of joy, the strengths, the supposition, the saints, the spirit, substitutes of joy. But today I want to go back to the very beginning and talk about the salvation of joy. Your ability to have joy begins at salvation. As we talked about last week, lost people can't have biblical joy. They can be happy, they can have some pleasure, but they can't have this gladness that comes from God that is available to you as God's children. All the blessings of joy in our lives begin with salvation. Don't miss this. No salvation, no joy. It's just not available. But salvation through Christ means earthly joy now and heavenly joy forever. Doesn't get much better than that, does it? So I want to spend just a little bit of time this morning talking about the salvation of joy. And I want to start with this verse here in Zephaniah. I just love it so much. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. Actually, I was studying this and I was like, Lord, I just want to preach this verse because there's a 5-point outline in this verse talking about the Lord that is just absolutely amazing. And it gets me excited. And so if you don't mind, I'm going to preach 2 sermons this morning. No, maybe not. And half a sermon. And so we'll give you what the Lord has for us. But look at this verse again. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Hey, can I get an amen right there? He's the almighty. There's nobody bigger. There's nobody stronger. There's nobody wiser. He is everywhere all the time. He is almighty God. Then I like this next part. He will save. He is a savior. Boy, I love that. God is a savior. God loves to save. It's his nature. He wants to do it. Matter of fact, think of the lengths he went to save you and I. We deserved hell. Think about everything he did in order to make salvation even possible for us. But while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He went to great lengths to save us. Why? He is a Savior, and he will save. Then next, think about this. He will rejoice over thee with joy. Did you know God rejoices in his children? You ever just see your children and they make you smile? You ever just look at them and you're almost overcome with how much you love them? It's like, man, you just feel like your heart just jump out of your chest. I just love them so much. I just want so badly for them to have the best of life. And I just they just bring us so much joy. God looks at you that way. Amazing. He will rejoice over thee. Do you know what? God gets joy in saving people. God's joy in saving us. It made him happy when you accepted him. It gave him joy when you confessed that you were a sinner and you believed the gospel and you were born again. He will rejoice over thee with joy. And then I like this, he will rest in his love. Well, I wish we had time to get into that. God's love is so powerful and so amazing. He will rest in it. And then lastly, he will joy over thee with singing. Here's a thought that most of you probably haven't had this week. God sings. Why do you like singing? Weren't you made in the image of God? See, singing is not just something that we do for him. It's something I think he does and he enjoys. He might have a song for you. For some of my children, I made little songs when they were little. And I would sing them their own little song. I'm going to sing them for you now. And my kids are back there going, no! You know, slow-mo. No! Trying to run up here and stop me. And they're just special little songs. They wouldn't mean much to you. But for me, and I think about God, he rejoices over thee with singing. God might have a little song specially for you. When I thought about the salvation of joy, before I could even get into this idea of the salvation we get from being saved, God directed me to this thought that God receives joy in our salvation. So let's just dive into the scriptures here. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Don't you just love the Bible? What an amazing book. Quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. Love it. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 2. If you're there, say amen. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hey, I like that. It was God's idea, and he made it happen. He's the author and the finisher. It is finished. Who for the joy that was set before him. Did you catch that? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Why did Jesus go through the crucifixion? Why did he stay there when he could have called legions of angels? What kept him to the cross? It was his love for you. It was that joy that was set before him. And he's sitting there thinking, boy, I'm going to make it through this. And when I accomplish salvation, I'm going to be able to save them to the uttermost. And they'll be forever in heaven with me. I'll be their God. They'll be my people forevermore. And Jesus, looking past the pain, past the suffering, saw that joy of your salvation. That's good stuff, isn't it? God's joy in saving us. Look at Luke chapter 15. These parables that the Lord gave us have a meaning that can't be overlooked. Look at verse 3, and he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. What a powerful, moving story. But now he says there's joy in heaven. Well, there's a lot of people in heaven. There's a lot of things in heaven. Where's this joy coming from? He gives another parable in verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Verse 10, Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Well, now, so we learn that there's joy in heaven, but now we learn that it's not the angels rejoicing. There's joy in the presence of the angels. What a beautiful, beautiful story. Look down at... Now, well, that'll be enough of that. Joy in the presence of the angels. Folks, God receives joy in your salvation. I'll tell you what, if you're here this morning and you're not born again, you're not saved, and the truth is, if you're not saved and your heart would stop beating right now and you would die right now, before you could even imagine, you'd be separated from God for eternity in hell. It's not a pleasant thought, and it's not my philosophy. It's just not my teaching. It's the clear teaching of the Word of God. But God loved you enough to make salvation available. Sent His own Son to live on this earth and die on an old rugged cross to pay for your sin. And I promise you right now that if you'd get born again this morning, you get saved this morning, God would rejoice. And I believe every time somebody gets saved, there's a rejoicing in heaven. I can imagine the Lord of glory shouting through heaven, Rejoice with me! Because that which is lost is found. What a blessing. So not only is there God's joy in salvation, but next we see that there's our joy in salvation. Look at Luke chapter 2, the very announcement of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 2, and look at verse 9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. Verse 10, And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. See, that rejoicing, that great tidings, or that good tidings of great joy. Why? What's the big deal? There's a Savior born, and that Savior is bringing the joy of salvation. Look at Luke chapter 10. This is the first time Jesus takes His disciples and He commissions them and to go two by two, house to house. And by the way, that method still works. Two by two, house to house, taking the gospel to every creature. And praise the Lord for a church that still believes in old-fashioned taking the gospel. Last week through our soul-winning blitz, we were able to knock on so many doors in Charlestown. And just what a blessing to be able to do that. And our goal, we've got a map downstairs where we mark off all the streets in South Kingstown that we've visited and what we have left to visit. We believe in taking the gospel to every door in our community. Doors don't get saved, the people behind the doors do. And we want them to have the gospel if at all possible. And so we're still following through with Jesus' commandment. But he sent them out and he gave them even power over devils. And so they go out preaching and they come back rejoicing with great joy, like we do when we're done soul winning. We'll come back and give a report and say, hey, we met this person, or hey, so-and-so got saved, or you know what, we had a good visit over here, and giving this report to Christ. And as they're giving a report, verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. I love it. He's like, guys, I know that's exciting, but that ain't nothing. Verse 19, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Well, think about that. You have divine protection when you go in God's name doing God's will. My friend, it is, you are safer in the jungles of South America in the will of God than you are in Wakefield, Rhode Island, out of the will of God. Because there is a divine protection that comes with the will of God. When God says go, you go. And so he's teaching them. Imagine the hearing this from the Lord. These people are so excited. He's given them incredible powers. But look at verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. I love the Lord bringing them back down to earth. Hey guys, I know it's pretty cool that you can tell demons what to do, which by the way, that'd be pretty cool. If you and I did it, we'd probably be like that guy in the book of Acts where the demon's like, Paul, I know, but who are you? You know, when they jump on him and start ripping their clothes off and stuff. But, I mean, they literally walk around. They had divine protection. They're literally telling demons what to do. They're pointing people to Jesus. But Jesus brought them back down to earth and said, you've got a much greater gift than that. And that is your salvation. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. I think about, compare that to Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. I'll just read it to you. The Bible says, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My friend, if you're not born again, your name's not in that book of life. You're going to be separated from God for eternity. But Jesus said the greatest gift you've ever been given, the greatest reason for rejoicing that you have today, is not in all of these peripheral things. It's that your name is written in heaven. What a gift. You see, folks, have you thought this week about what a glory it is to be saved? I mean, did you take any time this week and just stop your life and thank God for his salvation? Consider the fact that Romans 5:10 says that we were enemies of God. Enemies. Romans 5:10 says, for if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled we shall be saved by his life. We were enemies of God. Ephesians 2, Colossians 2 tells us we were dead in trespasses and sins. Colossians 2:13, and you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. We were enemies. We were dead, but now we're forgiven. Of how much? All. Think about that. You've been forgiven of all. That thing in your past that just haunts you, you're forgiven. That thing that you can't forgive yourself for, you're forgiven. That thing that you hope nobody ever finds out about, you're forgiven. The thing that maybe other people haven't forgiven you for, you're forgiven through Christ. Boy, the glories of salvation, that ought to help us to rejoice. The Bible says we were condemned before salvation. Condemned means reserved for destruction. I love this verse in John chapter 3. Well, let's look at it. John chapter 3, verse 18. John 3:16 is not the only great verse in John chapter 3, that's for sure. What a wonderful chapter. Now, like John chapter 3, Look at verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on him is not condemned. Did you see it? You were condemned, but as soon as you believe on Jesus, you're not condemned anymore. You're no longer reserved for destruction. Why? The verse goes on, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is your faith in the Son of God that determines whether you're condemned or not condemned. If you've never trusted Jesus, you are condemned. You are reserved for destruction. You are a heartbeat away from hell. But if you've been saved, you're not condemned. You're not reserved for destruction. You're reserved for heaven. Look at John chapter 5 and verse 24. Great verse. Memorize it if you haven't. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Hey, stop right there. Do you see that present tense? Eternal life is not something you're going to get one of these days when you die. The moment you got saved, God gave you eternal life right then. You are currently, right now, an eternal being. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 11, he that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Your death is over. You can no longer die. This old body will die. This old body, just like a car that gets too much mileage on it, it will cease to function. But you, the part of you that is your soul, that never a dying part of you, will go to heaven because you received eternal life the moment you got saved. You have it now. That's what the Bible teaches. You don't have to wait to get to heaven for God's blessings. You can have God's blessings now. You don't have to wait to get to heaven till you do God's will. That's why in the model prayer, it says, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, our jobs as Christians is we are trying to take heaven and bring a little bit of heaven back down to this earth. We get to experience the blessings of God today. We're not condemned. We have everlasting life. Let's look back at that verse, verse 24. John chapter 5, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Oh, and watch this. And shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death to life. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. You got saved. God gave you eternal life. You were dead. Now you live. And you're alive forevermore. Isn't that something to rejoice about? Hey, listen, on your worst day, you're still saved. On your worst day. I mean, think about Job. On that day, he lost everything. And I wouldn't want to trade places with him for anything in the world. But on that day, if the worst, the unthinkable, were to happen to you, you're still saved. Because that's one thing Satan can't take away from you. And on your worst day, you die. But the grave doesn't get the victory. And death doesn't sting to the child of God. Because you've been passed from death into life. And all death is for the Christian is a doorway to heaven. That's all. That's all. We have reason to rejoice. I like this verse in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. I'm so glad God doesn't condemn me for my sin. Hey, listen, the Bible asks in the Old Testament, if God should mark a man for his iniquity, who can stand? If God were to come to you and start telling you your sins and hold you accountable to your sins, there's not a one of us that could survive that without eternal damnation. But my friend, through salvation, we've been cleared, we've been cleaned, we've been cleansed, we've been forgiven, we've been made alive, we've been resurrected, we'll live forevermore. Is that not reason to rejoice? Is there any wonder that when Jesus was born, those angels proclaimed good tidings and joy that would come through Jesus? Oh, I love it. Psalm 35:9, we saw it in our bulletin. The Bible says, "And my soul shall be joyful in the Lord. It shall rejoice in his salvation." Are you joyful in the Lord this morning? I mean, I know you got burdens. I know you got bills to pay. There's not a person in this room that doesn't have a situation right now in your life that you don't know what to do. I mean, right now. Something right now that feels like it's tearing your guts out, or something that you're worried about for the future, or a burden you don't know how to bear, or bills you don't know how to pay, people that you're concerned about and you don't know what to do. Everybody in this room is carrying burdens. But do you have joy? Because you should. Because you can always go back to that moment of salvation and say, at least I'm saved. At least I'm born again. And I can rejoice because my name is written in heaven. Look at Psalm chapter 51. We know that this is the Psalm of David's repentance after the sin with Bathsheba. He prays for forgiveness. He confesses his sin. Prays for cleansing and sanctification. Look what he says in verse 12. "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit." I want you to consider something very carefully. That when we choose to sin, one of the first things we lose is the joy of our salvation. If you're here this morning and you don't have joy over this salvation, it's probably one of two things. Either you've gotten so caught up in the cares of this life that you haven't really stopped to think about how blessed you are to be saved. And by the way, that happens, doesn't it? It's not on purpose. You're not involved in any deep sin. You just get so busy and you get your eyes off of Jesus. You get your eyes off the Calvary. You get your eyes off the empty tomb, and you start looking at the cares of this life and the problems and the trials and the responsibilities, and it's easy to kind of get that, start carrying that burden. And maybe if that's you here this morning, that perhaps me just pointing you to the cross would be enough for you to go, "Oh yeah, I'm saved. I have reason to rejoice." But the other reason why people lose the joy of their salvation is because they choose to sin. And if there's an area of your life where you know you're doing something you shouldn't do, one of the costs of that is it sucks the joy out of you. Maybe you're not doing something you know you should do. You get that hardness with God. You get that little bit of rebellion with God. You get that callous. You get that kind of, "I'm going to do it my way. I don't care what anybody says. I know what the Bible says, but..." You get that kind of attitude. One of the first things that you lose is joy. So let me warn you. When you lose joy, like we talked about last week, the world's substitute for joy is pleasure. So when a Christian stops having joy, they usually dive into worldly pleasure. But as we talked about last week, it's temporary and it's fleeting, so you got to do more. And you got to do more, and you got to do more, and you get deeper, and you get further away from God, you get further away from God. That's why we encourage you, keep short accounts with God. You do something wrong, confess it, forsake it, get right, move on. But you start getting these long accounts with God, it's amazing how you can travel so much further away from Him faster than you thought. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Maybe someone today needs to pray, "Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Look at Psalm 95 as we finish up. We're talking about the joy of salvation. Psalm 95. And look at verse 1. "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms." Let me say that your song is one of the ways we tell whether you have joy. Because joyful people sing. It's also true happy people sing. It's almost like a button God put into us. You ever, even a lost person, they're having a good day. They come bouncing into work. Maybe they got a little ditty they're singing. You know, hey, it's a good day. You know, whatever. Why are they doing that? God made us that when we are in a good place, that we want to sing. And a child of God who is rejoicing, a child of God who is understanding and living in that joy, they've constantly got a song. They've got good music in the background. They come to church and they begin to sing. And let me just be honest with you, I wasn't keeping score, but during the song service, some of you were having a time. I mean, you were excited. Truth is, it was a little embarrassing. No, I'm kidding. It wasn't. It was fine. But you know what? Some people, when the songs of God are going on, it's people around you singing praise to Almighty God. And you don't join in. Why? Ask yourself why. Well, I'm not a good singer. You sing all kinds of songs and you're not a good singer. But even either way, the Bible says make a joyful noise, doesn't it? See, the song, your song, is a window to your soul. It's a window to your heart. And that's why whether you know the songs or not, when it's time to sing, you grab a hymnal, you look at the words, you do your best. Because that song in you, what you'll find is it brings joy. In your home, have good Christian music because it'll change the atmosphere of your home. In your car, driving to and from work, it'll change the atmosphere of your heart and mind by the time you get from one place to another. Because music is powerful. Let's finish up with this last one. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah 61 is known for verse 1 and 2, which, by the way, are amazing verses. But tucked away in this chapter, there's a beautiful verse about joy. Isaiah 61 and verse 10 says, "And I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God." Why? "For he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with a robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with jewels. For as the earth bringeth forth her bud, and as the garden causeth the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord our God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all nations." Isn't that beautiful imagery? I love doing weddings, and boy, a lot of care is taken to how people look. The bride's dress, the groom's clothing, the bridesmaids, the groomsmen. Some of you need to realize this morning that your soul covered with the righteousness of Christ is beautiful. And God looks at you and He doesn't see all your sin and He doesn't see all of your shortcomings and all your failures. God looks at you this morning and He sees beauty. And He says, "Look at my beautiful children." And God rejoices. You walk by a beautiful flower garden and you say, "Wow, that's magnificent." That's how God looks at you. Beautiful spring with all the colors and noises. A beautiful sunset and you say, "There's nothing as magnificent as that." That's how God looks at you. Because of the salvation He gave you. And I encourage you this morning, some of you just need to take some time, get alone, and thank God for your salvation. and then rejoice that He saved you. And He'll keep you saved. And one of these days you'll see Him and be forever with Him. Why? The joy of salvation. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, we've talked about the salvation of joy, and of course, what a great subject. And Lord, I pray that we would trust You. I pray that people would be saved. Our salvation is such an unspeakable gift. It makes You happy. It ought to make us happy. Anytime we consider it, we ought to be able to smile and sense joy in the glorious salvation You've given us. Help us now as we have the invitation. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. At the end of our service, we take a few moments and we look to see what God would like us to take with us from the message. If you're here this morning, you're not sure you're saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can know for sure. No reason to live another day without Christ. No reason to take a chance of entering to eternity condemned when salvation is so full and free and available. Many of you have made professions of faith. You confess that your trust is in Christ. I ask you this morning, are you joyful about it? Every day of your life, would you commit today that every day of your life you're going to revisit your salvation and you're going to allow it to bring some joy into your day? Maybe you think about on the worst day of your life when the worst things happen. Maybe you're in a hospital bed. Maybe you're at a lawyer's office. Maybe you're just out by yourself and you're just crushed with the weight of your life. Decide today that at those moments, you're going to revisit your salvation and take joy and rejoice in the fact that you're saved. Maybe God spoke to you about something else. Of course, honor the Lord with whatever He's put on your heart. Let's stand. As the piano plays, the altar's open.